Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Get more at 971talk.com.
All right, good morning to you. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show, and pretty much just the Mark Cox Show this morning because Kim and Ethan are on vacation. I've got Drew in here running the board for me. He's doing a fantastic job this morning. Daniel out there on the phones that are now working again because that's been a little bit of a challenge for us, to say the least. And we've got that going, though, which is important. And I don't want to downplay that. So we're happy you're with us. We got Sue Thomas giving you your traffic to make sure everything is working perfectly for you this morning. And then, of course, we are keeping an eye on what's going on overseas. We had Jonathan Savage on a few minutes ago with the latest on the Israel-Iran situation. The president is meeting with, I numbered them for you there, Drew. The president is meeting with his National Security Council right now to talk about what's going on in the region. I mean, obviously, when you have more assets, you run the risk of getting involved in the conflict, but you project power. And I think that's what's going on right now. There's a lot of hand-wringing on the part of some conservatives out of fear that Donald Trump, the one who, from his first ride down the escalator 10 years ago, said that he didn't want us to be involved in any more foreign wars. I don't think that's what he's doing here. I don't think that's his intention. So trust in the president and what he's got going on here, for sure. Coming up, we're going to get to Kendall Teets. Kendall is an investigative reporter with Defending Education, and we're talking about school districts spending millions on equitable grading, many of them across the river here in the great state, the People's Republic of Illinois. You know what that means, don't you? That means giving people grades they don't deserve just to pass them through because life's not fair. That's where we've come to in society. We'll get to her coming up. Ryan Wiggins as well. Ryan's been taking a look at the self-deportation plan the president put in effect. And I think the first or second plane load of people just flew out of here the other day with their plane ticket taken care of back to their home country. So we'll get with Ryan at about 8:35. Right now, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I just watched a video of law enforcement threatening to kill anyone who exercises their First Amendment right to protest. And I've never seen something more unconstitutional in my life.
Lizzo. That is Lizzo, who was listening to that sheriff in Brevard County, who said, if you throw a bottle or a stick or a rock at one of my officers, we will kill you graveyard dead. And somehow she thinks that is somehow suspending your First Amendment rights. I have no idea what she's talking about.
I actually really love Trump. I think he's a deeply humane, kind person. And I am saying this because I'm really afraid that my country's going to be further weakened by this. I think we're going to see the end of American empire.
Wow. Tucker Carlson thinks Donald Trump's about to get us in a war, and it's going to end MAGA, and it's going to end the United States. And I'm not quite sure where Tucker's coming from these days.
It's politics over common sense. They do not want to give Trump administration a win. They don't want to admit that we're fixing what they broke.
Tom Homan speaking some truth on the adult temper tantrums we're seeing on the streets out in La La Land right now. There's no doubt about that.
Remembering our past and working towards a more just future, investing in black is not a criminal act.
That is the socialist mayor of the city of Chicago. Now, We may like to think that this is isolated, but the problem with this whole reparations movement is that these idiots are now in positions of power, right? We've heard talk about it in St. Louis. Mayor Tashar Jones talked about it. They wanted to make it voluntary where you could donate to a fund that would then be given to people that you could, I guess, somehow prove that they were somehow discriminated against, or their parents or grandparents, or at this point it would have to be great-great-grandparents, were somehow affected by slavery 150 years ago. Honestly. And you shake your head about it, and then you hear things like Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Chicago, saying that he is going to, he set up a reparations committee, and he's funded it with $500,000. He's paying the members of the committee to come up with ideas on how to pay reparations. Now, I think it's important that you understand exactly what the mayor is attempting to do here, right? Because he sees a big problem in his executive order here that he says the city and the country. So he's taken the country as a whole, not just Chicago, and says the city has perpetuated, condoned, profited, and benefited from the system of slavery. This is in the wording of his executive order that he signed, and he's putting together a group to figure out how they can focus on things, disparities in life expectancy, unemployment, homeownership rates, home value, incarceration, and more against people. So it's not just slavery. That's what I need you to understand about all of this, because I did a little bit of history here. Illinois has always been a free state. You want to know how far they go back in this? They try to claim that slavery existed in Illinois when the French occupied it. That's their argument, that at some point somebody on the land now known as the state of Illinois owned slaves. But since Illinois has been a state, that's not been the case. They were always a free state in the state of Illinois. So once again, you've got a little sleight of hand here as they try to put together a commission to give away untold millions of dollars for something that nobody is currently affected by, and nobody who did it to anybody has been alive for 100 years at least. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it, that we're even talking about this these days? But when they are in positions of power and elected to be the mayor of Chicago, they can spend taxpayer dollars pretty much however they want. And he's got a board up there that'll rubber stamp whatever he wants. This is the insanity we're living with in this country. Thank God Donald Trump is president and Kamala Harris is drinking wine in California somewhere right now. Let's say a prayer for that today. All right, coming up, we're going to talk more about equitable grading. Is it coming to a school district near you soon? We're going to be back in just a minute. So at a time when the president has been pretty busy getting rid of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion programs because they represent reverse discrimination, we find out in a new report that there are lots of states involved here, at least 9 states and 39 school districts, and over $9 million being spent to make grading practices more equitable. So whatever that means, that's what they're doing. We got Kendall Teets with us this morning, investigative reporter for Defending Education, who helped look at this study. And Kendall, welcome in.
Hi, Mark. Great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you. So I was looking to our next door neighbor over here. We're in Missouri, obviously, but across the river, state of Illinois has got a few school districts guilty of this as well, huh?
Yes. So we found some schools really across the country, but Illinois is one of the 9 states that we looked at, and they primarily worked with this group called Crescendo Education, and really just, you know, thousands of dollars going to these groups through Chicago Public Schools.
Wow. So tell me what they're doing exactly. I mean, they're calling it an anti-racist assessment, correct?
So just to, you know, I guess look a little bit more broadly, equitable grading is really just kind of a popular progressive grading framework that seeks to address so-called quote-unquote inequities and bias in education. And it's really rooted in the belief that all inequitable outcomes are the result of implicit and systemic bias, like white supremacy, for example. So, but really at the same time, what we've found, and it's our opinion that, you know, this type of program creates barriers to success for the most vulnerable students, including minority and low-income students. So, you know, I think with a lot of these policies, the students it's, you know, I guess intended to help most ends up hurting the most. And not to mention the philosophy, the grading philosophy really discourages hard work and meritocracy.
Right. And, you know, at the end of the day, what they're using here is federal money, correct? Does the Department of Education give these grants, or do they give the grants and then the districts independently decide what they're going to spend it on?
Yeah, so we found that, you know, over $9 million were spent, like you said. Federal funds used is over 4.5, so okay, about half. And, you know, that is, yeah, it's taxpayer dollars, like you said.
It's pretty disturbing, because how did we get to a situation where at the end of the day, we're what this does is push children out of school or from one grade on to the next who aren't reading at grade level? We've seen some of the reports out of Chicago. We know how bad the schools are performing up there when they sometimes have 0% of their kids are doing math or reading at grade level.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. It creates, I would say, an inflated grading system, but it also creates an inflated sense of understanding of the content. You know, if you don't turn in an assignment and the lowest grade you can get is 50%, you know, that's an inflated grade, an inflated sense of mastering of a subject. So it leads to chronic absenteeism. We've even seen, you know, decreasing graduation rates. So, you know, at the end of the day, if students don't have anything to work for or really anything to show for hard work, like you said, it does not lead to good outcomes. And, you know, we've talked about this before, and ultimately we believe that this does not help kids. Like, they are going to end up in the world, in their jobs. It'll catch up to them at some point. And that is really what we believe we're going to see with these students who are, you know, subject to these grading systems.
Sure. And isn't it just compounded by the fact that a lot of these kids are, I guess, I mean, if they've been doing this for a number of years now, they were already behind the eight ball, so to speak, because of COVID, right? And remote learning and the damage done by that.
100%. So, you know, we saw reading and math scores plummet during the COVID pandemic. And, you know, as of last year, students continued to decline in reading and made a little improvement in math. And that's according to the nation's report card. But, yeah, we saw those grades dip over COVID, and they really haven't gone up, even as kids have gone back to the classroom. So, you know, with these inflated grades under the equity grading system, students will suffer. And when they attend higher education institutions that grade based on merit and, you know, a more consistent grading scale, that's not going to be good. But even if, you know, they do go to a university that might follow a similar grading type of pattern, you know, we do believe that there are consequences for this. And, you know, as you're an adult in the workforce, this just will not pass muster.
I would agree. Kendall, where can people go to read more about this? Daily Wire?
So we did have a report in the Daily Wire that you can find on dailywire.com, I believe. But if you wanted to read our raw report, it can be found at defendinged.org/investigations.
Very good. Kendall Teets, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate the explanation. Isn't that maddening? Isn't that maddening? You can't, they're teaching teachers how to let kids cheat the system. And who in the world thinks that's going to create a better outcome? It may make the kid feel better, but then they graduate school and they're stupid. We're killing ourselves here. All right, Ryan Wiggins coming up. We'll talk more about self-directed deportation. How about that? We'll be back.
Wiggins.
Oh, Wiggins.
All right, we got Ryan Wiggins in studio this morning. And Ryan, good to see you. How are you?
Hey, it's great to be here.
I'm glad this worked.
Me too.
I'm glad you worked, because nothing else has worked this morning.
Seems like you've had a bit of a rough morning.
That's true. Drew, get us a flip back up on the socials there, if you don't mind, so people can see Ryan Wiggins in person.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And up here, hey, before we get to what you wanted to come in to talk about, Drew handed me this a minute ago, and like it, they're just sometimes the left in this country, and right now, Thomas Massey for the Republicans are just so predictable. Massey is introducing legislation to specifically prevent Donald Trump from getting us in a war with Iran, and this is the Bernie Sanders press release that I'm holding in my fingers here. Sanders introduces the No War Against Iran Act, co-signed by, and it's the normal list of characters, Elizabeth Warren, Chris Van Hollen, Tammy Baldwin, Tina Smith, Ed Markey, Jeff Merkley, Chuck Schumer, and Kamala Harris. Apparently, he first introduced this in January of 2020 when Chucky and Cammy were the co-sponsors. So they are trying to blame what's going on now for the fact that Trump threw out that bad JPOA deal that Obama signed with Iran when we shipped them a pallet of cash in the middle of the night that they turned around and used to fund terrorism all over the globe. It's just a joke.
I like Thomas Massey, but I don't get this one at all. Even when he grandstands a little bit, I think he usually grandstands for the right reasons, at least in my opinion. But I don't know what this is. He's siding with a bunch of Democrat senators. He's not even a senator. So I don't know how this coalition has come together. It's very strange.
Yeah, I don't know. I was a little surprised. I asked one of my guests this morning, John Lamping, who is probably one of the most conservative people that I know, and I love him for it. How he agreed with people like Tucker Carlson and others who claim that Donald Trump's about to ruin his reputation, just like George W. Bush did. He had all these things he wanted to get accomplished. He let, in Bush's case, the war in Iraq ruin his entire administration. It's all that people talk about now from the George W. Bush years. And they all think that Trump's going down the same path. And I told him, like Charlie Kirk put out a message earlier, hold your horses. We've seen this movie before. And in the end, you'll agree Trump was right. How do you feel about it?
I agree with that statement because that happens more often than not. The way that Tucker Carlson is approaching this, I think, is wrong. However, his concerns are real that you have this massive military industrial complex that makes a lot of money on war.
Right.
And they are going to push for war all the time. And they're going to push us to get involved in wars because it benefits them. And so that's the thesis of why he's criticizing this. And I'm okay with that. But I am also like, why are you criticizing Israel doing it? Because he doesn't seem to be kind of splitting hairs at all. He's just criticizing the whole thing.
We've killed most of their top generals. We've wiped out probably at least half of their missile defense. That whatever they had to fire missiles, their launchers. We have air superiority. I say we. The Israelis have air superiority now. I'm not quite sure why the U.S. would need to get involved at this point.
I don't either.
The Israelis have owned them so far.
I know that there is a tremendous pushback from our side,
yes,
on getting involved in this war, getting Americans involved in this war, and that is a very noble pursuit. We do not need to be involved in this. Israel is completely capable of handling this. We can support them, you know, morally support them. If they want to buy things from us, that's fine. But we do not need to have our troops involved at all.
Yeah. You were taking a look at, I saw the video of that airplane full of people who were part of the self-deportation plan. How's that going?
So this is really interesting because we've heard a lot about ICE. That gets all the headlines. In fact, it's caused protests. I don't know if you've heard of that yet.
Yes.
A few across the country.
Oh, one or two.
And
they looted an AutoZone last night because everybody needs car parts in an emergency.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't
in L.A.
see that.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I saw that L.A. malls are basically just boards at this point. And you're like, Who's benefiting from
all,
this?
All the shoes are gone. Like they raided all the shoes. There's only thing left are work boots because they don't need those.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
Yeah. So anyway, that's getting the headlines, but the self-deportation track is not. And we're just starting to get numbers on how this is going. DHS has this multi-million dollar ad campaign. Which you go, are you really spending money on this? Well, yes, you are, because it costs about $17,000 per person to deport them if you do it through, you know, force, if you do it through ICE. But if they self-deport, it costs basically nothing. That's why they're offering $1,000 to anybody who wants to take the flight for
free. So they'll give them the free air flight plus a grand to get them started in their home country.
Yeah. And one way to track the program, there's a couple different ways. One way is to track employment numbers. And Financial Whiz is cited by Wall Street Journal, and this is New York Post, calculated a decline in the immigrant population of 773,000 in the first 4 months of Trump's second term. The Washington Post claims that it's actually closer to 1 million foreign-born workers that have exited the workforce since March. Now, here's what's funny. The Washington Post is, of course, coming at this and saying, well, this is a sign of the weakening labor supply. Well, no, I mean, that's a bad take. Your numbers are interesting, but your take is terrible. They're trying to find some reason why this is a bad thing, and
right.
as well the weakening labor supply. But they also have to acknowledge that it's caused wages in these jobs to rise. So in the midst of deporting and self-deporting, you're watching wages in these same industries go up for American or at least legal workers. So there's no downside.
NBC News has an article on immigration, and the headline is How a City in Nebraska is Recovering After the State's Largest Worksite Immigration Raid. This happened near Omaha, Nebraska. Every seat of the waiting area of Glen Valley Foods was occupied with people filling out job applications early Thursday afternoon, 2 days after the meatpacking plant became the center of the largest worksite immigration raid in the state of Nebraska so far this year. Dozens of prospective employees have been coming in and out of the plant all day hoping to land a new job. So they're having no problem filling these jobs that they claim Americans won't take.
Yeah, and so this is really interesting because you spin out of the self-deportation story into jobs numbers. Well, for the last few months, jobs numbers keep exceeding expectations.
Right.
In spite of the fact that people are self-deporting, so you're losing people in the workforce there, technically speaking. And then you also have the government losing jobs constantly because they're doging everything.
Right.
So you're losing government jobs, you're losing illegal immigrant jobs, while still overall gaining jobs. That means people in America are going back to work. That's the only thing that can mean.
Yeah. It's everybody keeps waiting for it. We had our business expert on from Fox the other day, and she was saying, you know, they kept waiting for these inflation. Well, those were just the inflation numbers for March. Wait till April. Well, those were just the inflation numbers for April. Wait till May. And they just never went up like they kept claiming they were going to because of the tariffs.
Yeah.
And in this case, the job numbers are still pretty strong, too. Well, that's good. Can you hang around, Brian?
Absolutely.
All right. Brian Wiggins in studio with us. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back.
Brooklyn Park police officers arrived at the scene. They, too, had been dispatched to check on Senator
on Representative Hortman after learning of the shooting of Senator Hoffman. When they arrived at the scene, they saw Belter's black SUV parked in the driveway with the emergency lights flashing, and they saw Belter standing in front of the house several feet from the door. When Belter saw the officers get out of the car, he drew his weapon and began firing. He rushed into the house through the front door, firing into it. He repeatedly fired into the house. And when he entered, he murdered Representative Hortman and her husband.
That was the update yesterday out of Minnesota. What an all-around tragic story, Ryan. When I think about this, the way it went down, the fact that within a few minutes of the news breaking, the governor was on local media claiming it was politically motivated and this, that, and the other thing. And of course, your assumption is, well, he must know that this guy was a Republican. But I've seen conflicting information on that. And regardless of what he was, Donald Trump had nothing to do with this. Nothing whatsoever. But listen to this, Representative Adam Smith from Minnesota. Go to cut 8, please.
My biggest concern is that we as a society are normalizing political violence. And you see this on many points on the political spectrum. The denigration and attacking of elected officials that you disagree with. It becomes incredibly, it's hateful and dehumanizing. And it puts in people's minds the idea that violence is an acceptable way to carry out your political viewpoints. And you see this in much of the dialogue that we have. No one side of the political spectrum has a monopoly on it. It's certainly, you've seen it on the right and the left. But President Trump is the biggest problem here.
It doesn't really matter what the facts of any case are. In some way, it's going to be Donald Trump's fault.
Orange man bad.
It cracked me up when riots started last weekend in L.A. And Trump decides, well, we're going to send in the National Guard. And Newsom goes, how dare you? How dare you send in the National Guard to stop these riots? And the exact opposite, and so it's Trump's fault then, you know.
Yes.
And it's the exact opposite would have been also true. Well, Trump didn't even send in the National Guard, yeah. So this is Trump's fault. If he had, no matter what he does. I mean, he wasn't even involved in this Minnesota thing at all. And I've got friends in my Facebook feed who were posting about it Saturday before we really had much to do, you know, much fact, and saying, well, this is because of Trump. And people going, yeah, this is interesting because these are people, these lawmakers voted against party lines, and he went after them first. So that's weird. So, you don't know really what the motivation was, and that somebody said that in this comment, and I took a screenshot of it because the answer that the original poster said was, it's still because of Trump. In light of all the things you just shared, it's still because of Trump. Now, this is before we knew much at all, so they didn't even care at all.
Well, the guy worked for Walls. His wife worked for Walls, the Walls administration. They were on some committee. It wasn't some high-ranking job or something like that. Maybe Walls didn't even know who they were. I don't know. But you can't have somebody who's an employee of yours who must just only be a fan of the other party. And it was Walls himself who recently came out and said, Democrats need to be more fierce. Remember that speech he gave? We have to confront them more and be more fierce and take on Donald Trump and blah, blah, blah. And then they want to complain that it's the other side that's promoting the rhetoric. Oh, boy. Ryan, remind people where they can listen to Wiggins America, please.
Wiggins America, Saturday morning, 7 to 8, Sunday evenings, 7 to 8.
And every day on the Annie Fry Show from noon to 3. All right, that's going to do it for us today. It's been a morning. Let's put it that way. Brian Kilmeade's coming up next. He's going to have the latest on what's going on with Iran and Israel and the president, so stay tuned for that. Of course, you can listen to Ryan on Annie's show coming up at noon, and then Mark Reardon's in here from 3 to 6. Keep it tuned right here to 97. One FM Talk. Remember, get on there. I've got a link on my Facebook page. Sign up for free at the range, and you might win 1,000 rounds of 9mm ammo. They're going to pick a winner on July 1st, so get on there and register. It's for free. The link is on my Facebook page. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.